Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we say goodbye to a rock pioneer.
Ruhe in Frieden, Florian Schneider.
All right, Patrick, sad news. Again, from the world of rock and pop music, Florian Schneider of Kraftwerk died at age 73 of cancer.
Yep.
And
rest in power.
Rest in power. And so we're going to pay tribute to his work today here on Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us, we have special guest, listener Harris King. Hello, Harris.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
We wanted to have you on because I know you're a big fan of Kraftwerk, right? Or Kraftwerk.
Yeah. Kraftwerk, yes. So.
Yes. In fact, you were posting some photos on Facebook of the t-shirts that you have, the band t-shirts that you have.
Exactly. I'm wearing the Autobahn shirt right now, the cover of the 1974 album, and I have another shirt of the album cover of The Man Machine, which came out 78, I think, is when that one.
Patrick, you want to kick us off here a little bit? Give us some background on Kraftwerk and why this is an important band.
Yeah, for sure, Jim. I mean, as a record store clerk growing up in the mid-80s in a chain record store in the mall, it was very difficult for me to understand, or really, I had no frame of reference, you know, why synthesizer music was so popular in the mid-80s. Like, you know, the face of it for me was Human League and all the way down the chain, right? And it was not until later when I began to understand more music and started to get into different bands that I understood what Kraftwerk did and how they did it. But I did notice something among people who I respected who really liked music was the fact that as a rock and roll fan, you kind of had to apologize or sort of contextualize why you like Kraftwerk, you know, because they were very cold and distant. They weren't emotional like Bruce Springsteen. As Harris said, you know, they put out their breakthrough album in 1974. This is a song essentially about driving. That was a year before Born to Run came out, in which driving was freedom and personality and American individualism and freedom. And Kraftwerk's Autobahn was a 20, I don't know what it is, Harris, 24, 25 minutes of, you know, the Zen, you know, as Simon Reynolds, I think, wrote in his lovely tribute, the Zen of driving. Like, it was totally different. It was intellectual and it was detached and But the weird thing was, it wasn't devoid of emotion, you know, it felt. I think that was the big thing about Kraftwerk. They made you feel as a music listener that synthesizers could express emotion. And that, you know, even though they were cold and distant to a rock fan, they were organized and they were evolved and they were smart, and yet they could feel. And, you know, that's what I later came to understand about Kraftwerk. And not only did they invent a whole, you know, 80s pop, you know, genre of people like Human League and all those synthesizer bands that, you know, sold tons of albums, they also had a massive influence on hip hop because of the way they used synthesizers and because of the way they recorded at home, and they repeated grooves and they used loops and, and all those kind of things. And, you know, also was a huge influence on David Bowie, and you know, had a foot early on in the krautrock scene that included Can and Neu and all those other bands. So you know, that's just kind of an overview. I mean, they were really influential and also sold a ton of records and were also really fun to listen to.
Yeah, completely. It's amazing. I was thinking about it earlier, and clearly we have a shopping list of the most influential bands in history, you know, Beatles number one probably, but I would say Kraftwerk is the most influential band that nobody's ever thought about or heard of.
Right.
As just what you did. And another one too is Detroit techno. They directly influenced Detroit techno in the early 80s. I heard a story one time, Juan Atkins was talking about how Kraftwerk played Detroit like in 1980 or 81.
Yeah.
And people were just blown away who went to the show. They're like, this is possible. This is amazing. And so huge influence on them too, for sure.
And that's a great shout, Harris, because, you know, Kraftwerk cited Iggy and the Stooges and that primal early rock and roll from Detroit as one of their influences. You know, they were not, I don't know, you know, cold and unfeeling when it came to music. They understood everything. You know, they understood rock and roll. So it wasn't like they were rejecting it and not knowing about it. They took a lot of their influences from primal rock and roll, like the Stooges and the Velvet Underground and that first wave of music. You know, they embraced that. They understood it, you know, and they decided to go in a different direction. And that's pretty amazing.
So Florian was one of the founders of the band, right?
Yep.
But he hasn't been with them for several years now.
2008, he retired, basically. And the way I understand it, it wasn't, you know, it was amicable. He had just had enough, I think. I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, so since 2008, he has not been in the band, but they still play. And play a lot.
Yes.
I've seen them twice in the last 5 years, which were both amazing shows. Actually last 6 years now.
I am holding tickets to a Kraftwerk show in DC in July. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they've already announced that they're postponing until next year.
Yeah.
But still, I was, you know, very excited about this. They do visual shows, right? There's some like 3D experience.
It's a 3D experience. Yeah. I saw them 2014 at the Moog Fest in Asheville.
Oh, wow.
And then 2 years later, with my wife, we just got married, actually. So this was actually, it was maybe 2 weeks before we got married, but in Atlanta at this great place with an awful name, the Cobb Energy Center, which is like used for symphonies and opera. It's just got an awful corporate name, but it was a wonderful place to see them, the 3D show, which is funny because they all stand up there with their consoles and the sort of a joke, but a little bit of criticism is that they're all up there checking their emails while a screensaver runs in the background, which is pretty funny. But they made all of that themselves, all their equipment, after, you know, taking the synthesizer technology that they learned on in the early 70s and then started building their own systems and own decks.
How did you get into the band, Harris?
Well, I've always been a huge music guy, so I was always open to new things from whatever, the early to mid 80s. We're about all the same age, and I spent a year in high school in Germany in the late 80s, and I majored in German, and did a couple of exchanges back there, and then ended up living there in the late 90s. But I'd heard of Kraftwerk. So just by the time I got there and lived there a decade, late 90s into the 2000s, I started discovering more and more electronic music, because Germany clearly is a huge electronic country with a huge tradition that starts with Krautrock and Kraftwerk being. So I just started listening more and more, and then I'd read about a band and they would mention Kraftwerk. So I just really needed, I felt like, to listen to them more and more. Now they're one of my favorites ever. So I don't have an origin story where I could say I discovered them. It was just I sort of knew who they were, heard some stories. You mentioned the hip hop at the New York City hip hop or African Bambaataa or something like that, reading about them. David Bowie, clearly you mentioned as well. He actually, a song we could play at some point as well, is the song he wrote, V2 Schneider, was written for Florian Schneider, which is a great song. You listen to, and I'm sort of rambling a little bit, but on Trans Europe Express, the album, the title track, Kraftwerk name dropped Bowie and Iggy Pop, who were in Dusseldorf visiting them, I think, at the time, which is really cool as well.
From station to station, back to Dusseldorf City, meet Iggy Pop and David Bowie. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express. Trans Europe Express.
It just appealed to me. I do like the repetitive nature of their music and electronic music. Autobahn, you already mentioned, is just 23 minutes, 24 minutes, and you're just driving as if you're driving on the road. So it appeals to me. I like robot music. I like all those things. So.
Just to reset, Kraftwerk was of a generation that was post-World War II. From what I understand from reading or from history class or whatever, German culture was pretty much destroyed, during the Second World War, and a lot of art and entertainment, everything was kind of nullified. And then there was another generation that wanted to reclaim what Germany was, not just what happened with one, madman who took over the country, right? And they were like the first three albums of Kraftwerk no one really ever talks about, because they were, kind of like Krautrock, to use that term.
Yep.
Kraftwerk 2 and Ralph and Florian, the third album. And then Autobahn became a massive hit in 74 and totally changed everything for them. But, I mean, how important do you think that was, Harris, the fact that they embraced being German? They didn't sing always in English. They didn't codify or change their music for America like many German bands did.
Well, you hit on a couple of great points. First of all, this is the late 60s. This is the student movement.
Right.
They are all German intellectuals, art students. They're living in communes. They're starting to realize that all these people who are still alive and not very old even, like, grandfather, what were you doing in the 30s and 40s? And they're starting to realize that. So that wasn't talked about for the few decades after the war, but for many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
From rebuilding the country to just, we better forget what we were a part of type thing. So all of that going on. So they were looking for this new break. So they were trying to break from tradition and create something new, which was the Krautrock. And they didn't want it to be copies of American or British music, pop music, rock music. So they came up with this idea of cosmic music, kosmische, that it's coming from somewhere else. And that's where it came out of. And they're so German. They're very exacting. Yeah. You know, they're creating, they're building something, like you say. They're, you know, very straightforward, seemingly right. boring, but what they create is amazing.
Well, that's the thing. And that's where I think you were talking about the repetition. I think that is sort of the key to it. It has to go through those cycles for it to start to like work in your brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because otherwise, because what you're saying is sort of the antithesis of American rock and roll. It is not, what you're describing is not Elvis Presley, right?
Yeah.
Right. Which was all feeling, you know, and, you know, and to a large extent, simplicity too, right? So what Kraftwerk was doing was not that. It was an exploration in structure. It was building something, and that engineering, right? That seems like about the most German thing
totally
that you could do, but it works. It works, and I can't explain how exactly they pulled it off, because that doesn't sound like it should work from an American rock and roll perspective, right?
And I really love those first three albums, but they themselves have tried to not talk about them. From what I understand, they're not on Spotify. I was just looking this afternoon.
Yeah,
just Autobahn is like, they start with Autobahn. I mean,
that's right.
The first three albums have a whole lot more analog music too on it. The krautrock, as you mentioned, but
it's such a great point, Harris. Yeah. They basically have distanced themselves, or did distance themselves, from those as kind of blueprints or experiments.
Yeah,
but, they're very much in line with what was happening, you know, at that time, and that's who they were. I mean, Florian and Ralph met each other, I guess, at some kind of art or technical college. But man, Florian was a flute player, Jim. And there's a lot of flute on those first three albums.
Yeah,
That's what I hear. I haven't heard those albums.
Hey, man, you know, I was brought up as a kid not to trust the damn flute on a rock and roll album of any kind that I paid money for. So it took some getting over. But if you go back and listen to those things, man, and I'll tell you this, you know, maybe something to think about is, as Harris said, everything starts with Autobahn, right? If you listen to the last track on Autobahn, side B, because side A is just Autobahn, right? The song. But there's four songs, right? There's four tunes on the B side of this, Harris. The very last song, man, I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of flute and, you know, sounds of like the pond.
It's a beautiful song.
I know. It's trippy, man. It's really
It's called Morgen Spaziergang, which means a morning stroll. And it sounds just like you're on a morning stroll.
Exactly.
Listening to birds. And I will say as well, just as far as the German, they are very German, but then they started making all different versions of their song that are in English and German mostly. But I, for myself, have all the German versions of the albums because for personal reasons. And I find they're better. They're different. So if you can track those down, at least to listen to them, I recommend it. to the listeners for sure.
Mm-hmm. And they're different in the sense of
just
what?
I mean, they're singing English with a German accent, which is right. fine. But them singing in German, that's very, yeah. you know, machine sounding voices that they have. Mm-hmm. That's not what, you know, it's not like it's a joke singing in English to right. me. I mean, they're still amazing, and that's what totally. Everybody knows. And well, when they played in Atlanta and they played in Nashville, they sang in English. Same, they sang yeah. songs.
That's so interesting to me. But I think one thing you mentioned too, Harris, one final thing I'll say is,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned that they were into machines and they were into instruments and synthesizers, you yeah. know, it's like the way Stanley Kubrick was into like film cameras, right? He was obsessed with like
yeah.
the cameras themselves and what they could do and their potential and stuff. And that's the same thing with Kraftwerk. I mean, they built a studio, Kling Klang, you know, where they called it a laboratory, right? Essentially, they just wanted to go back to their yeah. laboratory and like figure out what the potential of all these machines were. And
yeah, and that's the name of a song off the second album, Kling
yeah,
Klang.
That's right. Yeah. yeah. And then to me, that's like, you know, to go off on a little bit of a tangent, that's where Big Black, you know, the American sort of whatever kind of band you call them, Steve Albini's, you know, first yeah. foray into public consciousness. Yeah. That's what. They covered the model, right? They did a, you know, a dress up and you know, imitated the cover, but they loved that coldness. And Kling Klang is the way you could describe, you know, mm-hmm. you know, Steve Albini and Santiago Durango's guitar sounds on yeah. those records that just steal kind of a sound. And so, you know, not only hip hop and Euro disco and all that other stuff, but also, you know, even American indie rock were influenced very deeply by Kraftwerk. And
well, I mean, the funny story is I didn't even know it is I teach German, undergrad German at Clemson. So I teach, yeah. you know, beginner German, but I teach some upper level courses, culture courses, and I do a lot of music as much as possible, which is a fun for me. And I'm playing Kraftwerk in class and I played Computer Love, Computer Liebe, and a kid goes, I know that song. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he figured it out, and it's a Coldplay song, Talk. And oh. I didn't know it that they actually and apparently they had to write the lawyers and get permission to use it.
I didn't know
it.
That either. Wow.
They didn't sample it. They actually played it because Kraftwerk doesn't like samples either. So
that's really funny.
Huh.
And so pretty good stuff.
So Harris, you put together a Spotify playlist
yeah.
of
sweet
of an introduction to Kraftwerk, and we'll go ahead and we'll embed that with the article that goes with yeah. this episode at suburbspod.com, so people can go there and they can listen to that. But if people wanted to get albums, you know, where would you suggest people start?
I my favorite album by theirs is by them is Trans Europe Express.
Me too.
Europe. Yes. I don't know.
I love that one.
I think
That's
I even
favorite.
Have more songs on the playlist from Computer World or Computer Welt, but yeah. just the whole album is the songs can stand individually, but it's one album is just an experience as well, and it just moves me for some reason. And yeah. I don't like to use the term moves me a lot when I listen to music. I like to be exacting and robot-like, but it just, I don't know. I traveled by train when I lived over there, so I get that feeling when I listen to it. I really would start with there. But those three albums in a row, Trans Europe Express, The Man Machine, and Computer World,
yep.
are just you know, as good a trio of albums from anybody, I would say.
And one final thing I'll say about Florian, and I want to say rest in power again. You know, look up a picture of him if you haven't, or if you don't know what he looks like. His face was pretty prominent, right, Harrison? A lot of
yeah.
you know, things. He just looked so German, and he looked, you know, I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all, but he looked very smart and very
yeah.
well dressed, yeah. and he had his hair clipped in the mid-70s. Like, he didn't have a short haircut and a very neat suit, you know. He looked like he was on a as Harris said, on a train in, in a compartment, you know, going across.
He looked smart and like you needed to. I mean, I read it today just about that Klaus Dinger, who's the drummer for Neu, who pretty much is motoric. That's him.
That's right.
He was also in Kraftwerk, and he said, I was playing a show in like 68, and out in the audience was this person, and I needed to talk to him, and ended up being Florian Schneider, who was already had started Kraftwerk. So that's how they got together, because of the way he looks. So
rest in power, Florian Schneider.
Florian, for sure.
And it's a sad event. Well, it's a sad event, but I hope it does, you know, inspire some people who may not have understood Kraftwerk or. Not understood them. I mean, understood their influence.
Appreciate
it. It's a better way to put it. Yeah. Appreciate that. Yes. Thank you, Jim. And listen to them, man. I mean, no better time now than to zen out and understand a different kind of approach. And if you like rock music, you'll love Kraftwerk.
I'd start with Autobahn just to sort of set the stage and then go from there.
And as we always say,
and then go to Trans Europe.
As we always say too on these sad episodes, the music lives on.
That's right.
Exactly.
Thank the Lord.
Okay. Thank you, Harris, for joining.
Thank you, Harris.
That was a lot of fun. Thanks a lot,
appreciate
guys.
Appreciate it, man.
All right.
All right.
Appreciate it.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us was Harris King. And if anyone has any thoughts on the music of Kraftwerk, please email rock@suburbspod.com or call
612-440-1984.
There we go. Or... find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. All right. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
One last thing, Jim, you got to give Harris and I big props because we've been talking for, you know, 30 minutes plus and have not mentioned the Bundesliga.